And now, the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. A little bit of Canada on the show today, and Alaska and Texas and Britain and Mandan, North Dakota. Indie folk duo Jack and Daisy premiere new music and share some thoughts on working with the Eurythmics frontman Dave Stewart. Cowboy poet Andy Hedges recites an oldie but a vital goldie. It's called The Cremation of Sam McGee, written long ago by Robert W. Service, otherwise known as the Bard of the Yukon. Plus, live session from singer-songwriter Josh Fortenberry, and I'm going to tell you about a lost album of mine I recorded over 5 years ago now with a guy by the name of Gabe Burkham. I'm so glad to have you along for the show today. We begin with Andra Suki, a North Dakota talent, but not just North Dakota, Minnesota too. She's been doing music her whole life, first playing with her father, North Dakota's official state troubadour, Chuck Suki, and her mother, Linda, and her brother, Ben. And I'm pretty sure that her other sister, Eve, plays music. And I should know that because Eve's actually married to a relative of mine, but I never want to presume that a musical family means everyone in the family plays music. But then I can't help but to. Andra is a huge talent, and if her name sounds familiar to you, well, then it's likely because you've either seen her play at one of the many clubs that bedecks the rich music scene in Minneapolis, or you've heard her on the Prairie Home Companion. She sent in a live recording and a monologue, and I want to get to those, but first, I'm a fan of her work and have been for years, so I feel like I've got the right to be able to point the spotlight at her past catalog. So let's roll back the time machine for a Prairie Home tune featuring Catch Seeker of the Old Crow Medicine Show on fiddle and the legendary musician and songwriter Peter Ostrushko. It's a little song called Little Heart. It's Andra Suki on the Great American Folk Show.
was born on June 8th, 1976. I was born in Bismarck, North Dakota, and I grew up on a family farm south of Mandan. I guess that's probably where it all starts. My mom said when she was pregnant with me, she would play Linda Ronstadt records and put the headphones on her belly. My parents, both separately and together, grew up doing music. My mom sang with her two sisters. The boys were not part of the group, I guess. I'm not sure why. But my mom and her two sisters were the Sivrud singers, the sisters. And my dad actually was a year younger than my mom, and he played accordion, and they would do talent shows. I'm very grateful for how I grew up, because I know that it is unusual these days, and especially having had the experiences I did doing music. Our whole family performed, and when I was 9 or 10, I think we made a cassette tape called The Sukies in Harmony, and as a family, we would travel around and play music, and I think my mom and dad said I was able to hold down the melody when I was about 2 years old. My dad is the state troubadour of North Dakota, and recently one of his songs was just voted in to be the state waltz of North Dakota, which I think is wonderful. You'd see in the inside his tractor cab would be all these little lyrics. One thing about this record, Battle Cat, the title, oh, there she is, Battle Cat. She's 15, folks, and she's the inspiration. She's constantly adapting. She's fierce. Yes, you are. I look forward to talking to you more on the Great American Folk Show.
It's the Great American Folk Show. You know, I love a compelling poem and a speaker who knows how to deliver one. And our next guest is a master at both collecting them and leaving a lasting impression on the podium. I remember in 2020, when I first gave him a call to be on the show, I was in Baker City, Oregon, and I was walking around the park downtown, just filled with all these big trees. And even in conversation on the phone, this guy's genuinity came through like sunbeams, like he was an old friend. But more than just a reciter of poetry, Andy Hedges is a thoughtful guitar player and a caring collector of old cowboy tunes. I'd like to introduce to you his two selections. One is a poem entitled The Cremation of Sam McGee. It's written by an adventurer and a writer named Robert W. Service. Wrote this one, back in 1900 and something. But first, here's one of those old cowboy tunes that Andy Hedges collected. It's called The Day of the Christmas Ball.
I rode in from the Company M on the day of the Christmas ball. Outside the East Main livery, I howdied Dr. Hall. Norther it was blowing and the snow begun to fall. Still Doc was saddling up to ride on the day of the Christmas ball. Say, Doc, where'd you find such a frown on the day of the Christmas ball? He hollered back, diphtheria, it'll take our children all. The medicine's in our town, damn this winter squall. I've half a 100 miles to ride on the day of the Christmas ball. Well, my horse was fresh and I was young on the day of the Christmas ball. Besides that, them children taken sick had need of Dr. Hall. I allows how I could make his run, I had the wherewithal to make that desperation ride on the day of the Christmas ball. That norther rolled in like a train on the day of the Christmas ball. All the world a whirling white the time I hit the draw. The wind so range, the flat terrain, 'twould hold you in its thrall. But I had reason for my ride on the day of the Christmas ball. Sing or trim the tree on the day of the Christmas ball. Never heard them banjos ring, heard the fiddlers call. I kept the wind behind me, I did not slow or stall. Bless baby Jesus, I did ride on the day of the Christmas ball. I weren't no hero nor a fool on the day of the Christmas ball. Just a puncher boy with work to do for the helpless and the small. Oil your tongue with a golden rule, but when your needs befall, let a cowboy make your glory ride on the day of the Christmas ball.
There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake LaBarge, I cremated Sam McGee. Now Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the South to roam round the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell, though he'd often say in his homely way that he'd sooner live in hell. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold, through the parka's fold it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd closed, then the lashes froze, till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we lay packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed and the stars overhead were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me and, "Cap," says he, "I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request." Well, he seemed so low that I couldn't say no. And he says with a sort of moan, "It's the cursed cold, and it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through to the bone. Yet 'tain't being dead, it's my awful dread of the icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair, you'll cremate my last remains." A pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee, and before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half-hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, "You may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains." Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart, how I cursed that load. And the long, long night, by the lone firelight, while the huskies, round in a ring, howled out their woes to the homeless snows, oh God, how I loathed the thing. And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow, and on I went, though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in. And I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake LaBarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in the ice, but I saw on a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit. And I looked at my frozen chum. "Then here," said I, with a sudden cry, "is my crematorium." Some planks I tore from the cabin door, and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared and the furnace roared, such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in the glowing coal, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, and I don't know why. And the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out, and they danced about, ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, "I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked and it's time I looked." Then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, looking cool and calm in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile you could see a mile, and he said, "Please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm." There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake LaBarge. I cremated Sam McGee.
That was songster and cowboy poet Andy Hedges reciting a famous poem called The Cremation of Sam McGee by Robert W. Service. And we're going to keep it going with Josh Fortenberry, who celebrates new music. Tidy Waves is the name of his new record, and it features pedal steel and percussion and subtle backing vocals and even a touch of reverb. It's the moderner's take on classic country. But at the center of it all is Fortenberry's vocal delivery. It really cuts. He joins us now from Juneau.
Nobody has played that including me. I've been talking a lot. Nobody.
My name is Josh Fortenberry, and I'm a songwriter based in Juneau, Alaska. I choose to live in this small town in a temperate rainforest because the people are resourceful and friendly, and the weather's as moody as I am. But it's an odd home base for anyone trying to make music. You can only access Juneau by boat or plane, so I can't get my car to head out on tour. We don't have any established recording studios, and the venues are mostly historic bars that hold a couple hundred people at most. But the community loves its artists. People lend recording spaces in their businesses and homes. Folks show up to whatever events I cook up in bars or community centers, and I have the freedom to experiment. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be a musician in a world that seems to prioritize image and lifestyle above art. Instagram and Spotify numbers are often litmus tests for bookers at festivals and larger venues, but investing time in those platforms is mostly unpaid labor. Common wisdom is that I should be making short videos for social media, or directing traffic to streaming services that make the rich richer while paying artists pennies. But I'm neither motivated nor particularly capable of selling myself to strangers online. I've learned that I don't write songs to be successful in the music business, which is fortunate because I have a real knack for avoiding that type of success. I write songs because I'm a chronic overthinker who worries too much, and if I don't sing about the things I'm thinking, I'll probably bother my friends and family to death. My most recent album, Tidy Memorial, is another collection of my anxieties, neuroses, and observations. I've started calling my music neurotic folk or existentialist country, again proving that branding is not my forte. The songs on this album are a collection of 10 eulogies for people, relationships, misplaced beliefs, and common decency. My typical upbeat subject matter. This tune, called Wanderlust, closes out that record. I wrote it for an influencer couple I observed monopolizing the atrium at the Porto Cathedral, snapping selfies on the central fountain while the rest of us waited to get a closer look at the medieval stonework. I do hope they found what they were looking for. I sincerely appreciate Tom for inviting me back to share what I'm doing, even if I have to talk about myself for much longer than I'd prefer. And I appreciate all you out there listening, and hope you find the music honest, even if it's not to your taste. If I'm lucky, I'll see some of you out there in the real world when I do occasionally venture out of my rainforest home to take things on the road. Thanks for listening.
Ticket for the church. Take pictures only of yourself. Well, it's a god awful thirst to show the world you're doing well. Many walk the halls in reverence. Thousands are kneeled upon these floors. Now you're sitting on their idols, worshiping yourself for hours. But you can't know the Lord, she is wise, she is wise. And I won't defend the church, they'd never claim me as their own. Just admire every parish for trying to build the highest throne. Hundreds of years under construction, men hauled and carved and set each stone. And now some joker in Air Jordans circles the angels with a drone. But he can't know the Lord, she is wise, she is wise. Late in the 16th century, waiting in line for every tour, talking over every guide. 'Cause nothing in the world's worth seeing if you don't pay to get inside. Still, I can't know the world, it is wide, it is wide. Thank you.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minkota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at Minkota.com. It's me, Tom Brousseau. This is the Great American Folk Show. Thank you for listening today. Jack and Daisy are an indie folk duo from England with a delicate sound and an incredible following, one that's not limited to their neck of the woods. They're actually quite popular over here in America. They've released a slew of singles and finally are in the midst of recording a new album with Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. And I just love that. Huge Eurythmics fan over here. Huge Eurythmics fan. I want to get right to it. So here is Jack and Daisy with songs Another Day and Barcelona.
I touched down an hour ago and standing on the platform in the rain. People look right through me. I guess to them I'm just another face and an unknown name. How'd I get this far away again? I'm going to the places that I dream of now and then. It's keeping me away and I'm just waiting for another day to end. Spend my time in hotel rooms, down alleyways, where the light of day don't bloom. And I've been talking to the moon, but it's nothing new, it's what I always do. I talk of you. How'd I get this far away again? To the places that I dream of now and then. It's keeping me away and I'm just waiting for another day to end.
Jack and Daisy. We're an indie folk duo and we've been playing together for 7 years now.
In the past few years, we've grown a really great following from posting live acoustic songs on our YouTube channel that we record from the back of our car.
This year alone, we've had over 10 million views, which is mad to think about. We like to cover classic songs by artists like Bob Dylan and Simon & Garfunkel, Tom Petty, as that's our favourite stuff to play. And we think this really comes across in our videos.
We're originally from England, but we both actually grew up in Spain and just met through the local music scene in this small little town that we live in.
I grew up surrounded by music, as most of my family are musicians, whereas Jack started a lot later, I think.
Yeah, it was once I got to my third year of architecture at Valencia University where I decided that architecture wasn't for me and I wanted to be a musician full time.
For a good while, we made our living gigging around Spain together, doing pubs and clubs and beach bars.
But in the last couple of years, we decided to start performing around the UK with our original songs because there are just so many more opportunities for our style of music.
We just finished our first UK headline tour, which we named the Public Transport Tour, where we played some amazing sold-out shows.
Yeah, as the name implies, we got around on trains, tubes and buses, which when carrying guitars and suitcases wasn't always the best, so we did get one or two sneaky Ubers.
So we've now played well over 1,000 shows together, and our next goal is definitely to come play in the USA, especially as most of our following is American.
This year, we've also had the amazing opportunity to work with the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics and actually co-wrote a few songs with him at the beginning of this year that we released as our debut EP through his record label Bay Street Records.
It's called Barcelona in the Rearview, and we wrote some songs with him over Zoom as he's based in the Bahamas or Nashville and we were in Spain.
Dave's a genius and we learned so much from him so quickly and he's become sort of our mentor in the industry.
Yeah. We also then got the chance to perform live with him last month in his hometown of Sunderland, which was completely amazing.
We can't wait to release more music and play more shows around Europe and hopefully we'll make it to the US soon.
Yeah, to play in New York in places Bob Dylan used to play in would be our dream come true.
If you'd like to hear more of our music, you can find us as Jack and Daisy on YouTube and on streaming platforms.
And as Jack and Daisy Music on social media.
Thanks for listening.
And if the sun goes down too soon, Barcelona in the rear view, you'll keep your eyes fixed on the moon and I'll follow you. Hundred miles to go till the air is clear and the trees leaning close. 100 miles to go, chasing the gold light with promise hanging heavy in the skies. We cross state lines. And if the sun goes down too soon, with Barcelona in the rear view, you'll keep your eyes fixed on the moon and I'll follow you.
I'll follow you.
Darling, another day to go till we reach the skyline on the eastern coast and see the cafe war where the prophets are. How'd we get this far? With nothing but a suitcase and guitar, what a place to start. And if the sun goes down too soon, with Barcelona in the rear view, you'll keep your eyes fixed on the moon and I'll follow you.
I'll follow you.
Barcelona in the review.
Follow you.
Mm.
Over 5 years ago, I was set to record this record with Gabe Burcombe. He's a talented friend of mine and part of the Burcombe brothers who composed music for the Great American Folk Show. He was living in Minneapolis at the time. I was living in Salt Lake City. I flew back several times to record this project with him. But then the pandemic hit. And as a result, well, I just lost track of that record. And I doubt I'll be able to return to it now. But still, I dream of finishing it. So for the time being, all that I do have to show for that old project is a bunch of demos, and I want to play you one. It's called Oh How Blue. When you think of Fargo, North Dakota, is jazz the first thing that comes to mind? Well, I would guess probably not, but maybe it should. On a cold evening in 1940, a couple of enterprising college students helped put Fargo on the international music map by recording a legend and his uber-talented band. And speaking of talented jazz musicians, a group of them are recreating that legendary night with two tribute shows. Our producer, Eric Dethridge, has that story.
And not to quote Kiss or even Chuck Klosterman, but Fargo, Jazz City.
There's a lot of people that come out for jazz. We have the FM Kicks big band.
That is Matt Patnode. He's an NDSU music professor and member of Funky Fargo Collective Post-Traumatic Funk Syndrome. His fellow music professor across the river at Concordia, bandmate and jazz enthusiast, is Russ Peterson.
Every Monday night at Side Street, 7 o'clock p.m., free jazz, a different group every week. All ages, no cover charge. Come on.
aside from the no-brainer of great live jazz music, there's nothing quite like it, really. Russ says there's an academic reason why musicologists flock to the FM area.
The three colleges in town all have three full music departments, all full-time music faculty from all over the country. And what do? You start groups.
And what started as kind of a wild hair by a couple of college students from a long time ago, Jack Towers from South Dakota State University and Richard Burris from NDSU, both were extension students, both jazz fans, both worked at their respective campus radio stations, became a document of a legendary evening on the snowy prairies that was waxed into music immortality. Here is the late Jack Towers from a 2011 NPR interview.
So we noticed that our idol, Duke Ellington, was going to appear in Fargo, North Dakota at the Crystal Ballroom. And so we sent off a note to the William Morris Agency in New York to get permission from Duke's people for recording. We figured it would be just about like one of the band pickups and that we heard broadcast all the time, so why not us do it with our disc recording equipment?
And Jack and Richard recorded not to tape, but directly onto a 16-inch aluminum acetate-coated disc, basically using a phonograph. So the story is Duke and the band listened to the playback and were kind of impressed. There was a little trepidation about the trumpet player. It was the first show with new horn player Ray Nance, who replaced longtime trumpeter Cootie Williams. Jack and Dick agreed not to release it commercially, but eventually the discs got passed around among band members, friends, and eventually it became a bootleg collector's item. In 1974, when Sir Duke passed away, his family released the album officially, and in 1980, don't know why it took so long, Duke Ellington at Fargo, 1940 Live, picked up the Grammy for Best Large Jazz Ensemble Album. So all Homer bias aside, how does this record, this album, this live album, stand the test of time?
Well, first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to repeat a phrase that Miles Davis used. He said, once a year, the entire planet should get on one knee and thank Duke Ellington. So his contribution to music, not just jazz, because you got to think of this time. I mean, he's inventing jazz. This wasn't happening before Duke was doing this. Other people picked up on it. But Duke started doing this, man. It's like he invented this art form. People kept taking it from the 40s, 50s, and 60s to different places. But, man, Duke's kind of the father of it all.
So that's what he means, right? Duke. When we say Duke is such a great musician and just timeless musician, what is it elementally about his playing, about his, skills as a band leader that make him such an iconoclast of music, period?
Well, he was a great writer and arranger. And I think when you listen to his music, you hear it's classic American writing, just like we would look at Aaron Copland or Leonard Bernstein. It's just as unique there. It was just jazz and not classical. Many of his tunes, I think of Mood Indigo, how beautiful that close harmony was. And he also had players in the band for years playing over and over. He wrote special tunes with these guys in mind, soloists like Johnny Hodges. Russell will be playing Prelude to a Kiss when we do this. And also, he paid the band pretty well, so they stayed in that band if they could. A lot of big bands at the time featured different players on different recordings. You might find, for instance, Ben Webster's playing on this tour, but he also played with the Count Basie group. So a lot of players went from band to band with whoever was on tour, whoever had a gig for them. And Duke Ellington kind of brought it together with personalities and keeping an orchestra together. So it's really more of an orchestra. His writing, to me, he used soloists in certain ways. He also used like his saxophone writing as a saxophonist. I always hear this. He had a strong lead alto and also a strong baritone saxophone player, Harry Carney.
Now we present our feature baritone saxophonist, Harry Carney, in the solo role of a little song tune, Slap Happy.
And always some clarinet in some of the older recordings. Mm-hmm.
A story I heard was guys wanted to keep their job in this band, so they played so often, they memorized the book. And then they threw the book away. Well, you throw it away. Nobody else can take your gig now, man. It's just you.
Irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable.
Thank you. And now it's my pleasure to present that very dynamic personality, Ivy Anderson.
If you thought you had to be careful around the record player back in the day when you played back an album, imagine recording one live in a pretty tightly packed space with people not exactly sitting on their hands. But that's exactly what Jack Powers and Richard Burris had to contend with.
They couldn't be too close to the band because that would move the needle back then if the band got too loud.
They're tapping their feet too much, huh?
But this is a live recording. They did many live recordings then, and it was a dance. So a lot of the tunes are fairly short. They're under 5 minutes. People are dancing, and you can hear a lot of noise in the background. People, you know, glasses clinking and feet stomping.
And to mark the 85th anniversary of the concert at the then Crystal Ballroom at Broadway and South First in downtown Fargo on a cold, snowy night, November 7th, 1940, some all-star Fargo-Moorhead jazz musicians are recreating that evening, minus hopefully the rough weather. Details, please.
Sure, we're going to be playing live at the Side Street downtown Fargo on November 10 at 7 p.m., and basically, it's a tribute to this record. We're going to play several of the tunes from the record, how they were originally. But then we're also going to play, and this is Matt's idea, we're going to play newer versions of these tunes.
Thank you. And now we bring you our bass player, Jimmy Blandon, in the solo role of our radio theme, Sepia Panorama.
One of my favorites is Sepia Panorama, which is a little slower swing kind of tune, but it's not as well known, but discovering this on that album is fantastic, and we're lucky enough to have many of these transcriptions in our library at NDSU.
The Crystal Ballroom, which was on the second floor of an armory building, well, it was demolished in 1962. An apartment building facing Island Park sits there now. And on the west-facing wall in the alley behind Rumbus Guys, a mural of Duke Ellington playing a piano and bathed in a greenish-blue, maybe indigo, commemorates this incredible night of jazz music in Fargo, North Dakota, which is immortal now on wax and digital streams, though you'll have a hard time finding it on Spotify. YouTube is not a bad place, or your local public library. Now, some things to acknowledge. When Duke Ellington and his band arrived in Fargo, it was at the Great Northern train station. There's now a bike shop there. But apparently they had to lug all their equipment and walk several blocks in the cold and snow to the Crystal Ballroom. And if you're wondering where they stayed.
Fargo was segregated at that time, like most American cities, sadly. And the band actually stayed in special hotels for African Americans, and they were in boarding houses down off Second Avenue, which don't no longer exist.
The infamous Green Book, which helped African Americans find safe lodging, might have given them a tip on options at the time. There's also some photos of that night at the Crystal Ballroom on the wall at the Delta by Marriott across from West Acres Mall. It hangs on the outside of their, yep, Crystal Ballroom. Oh, what a night it was, and what a night it will be at the 4 and 4 above Side Street on Monday, November the 10th, starting at 7 p.m. And if you missed that show, the FM Ellington Tribute Band will recreate the experience, too, in Detroit Lakes at the Historic Holmes Theater on November the 14th at 7:30.
What's special is how Duke Ellington orchestrated, what the four trumpets did, what the five saxophones did. And that's what we're excited to recreate, the exact stuff that Duke wrote.
Now, if you think you have to venture to the Twin Cities for an excellent live jazz music experience, I mean, the Dakota is a pretty nice club. But hey, don't sleep on Fargo. This city is steeped in legendary jazz music history. You think about Duke Ellington at Fargo 1940 Live, but presently too, just a lot of great bands like Post-Traumatic Funk Syndrome and talented musicians plucked from local universities. Fargo is Jazz City.
My, my, how quickly time flies. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. And thanks to our guests. Our show started with Andra Suki. Andy Hedges, the great cowboy poet, was on the program. Josh Fortenberry, hello to you, Josh, in Juneau, Alaska. Jack and Daisy, all the way from Britain. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is a talent producer. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. Eric Dethridge is the producer and editor. My name is Tom Brousseau. I hope that you always find that good old lucky old fat son rolling around the world until we meet again.